So on September 28, 1960, you're age 42, you'll play your last game at Fenway Park. I think you didn't have a hit up until your last time at bat. You got a home run over the, I think it was a Red Sox bullpen, titanic home run. And at that time, the Red Sox were like 5,000 games out of first place. The game didn't mean anything, actually. And it was a sparse crowd. It was a cloudy day. And as you circled the bases, all the fans in the stands stood up and applauded. You circled the bases, went in the dugout. You went through the tunnel into the locker. You never showed your face again, and people kept applauding and applauding. I get this from Kurt Gowdy now. He explained this to me. And he says, you never came out for that applause. Was there any reason, Ted?
Well, that wasn't quite accurate. I didn't go back out for acknowledgement of the applause, but Mike Higgins was pretty smart about this. They all were, hollering for me to come out. I didn't come out, but I had to go out for the next inning, and I went out for the next inning. And as I was running out the outfield, he had somebody right behind me running on out, because when I got out, they looked around and I'd already been replaced. So I did go back out in the field. It's a great moment for me. I have to admit that, here it is 33 years or 23 years later, and it was a great moment for me.
Kurt Gowdy was a toastmaster at the Bank of Manchester, New Hampshire, where you came from Canada. You cut short a fishing trip for an American Legion World Series banquet, which I attended. And when he was introducing you, I still remember, you were leaning back in your chair next to the lectern, and Kurt was praising you to the skies, greatest hitter, the most remarkable man, so forth. And you said real loud that everybody in the room could ring. You said, cut the shit, Kurt. Do you remember that?
I don't remember saying those words, but, you bring up Kurt Gowdy, and he's one of my dearest friends, and I think was an absolutely one of the greats that'll ever be on a microphone. And I was with him for a long time, and I'll have everlasting affection for Kurt Gowdy.
Well, Ted, after that last game at Fenway Park, last game as a major leaguer, I believe the Sox had to go to Yankee Stadium for a series before the season was completed. But you never made that series, right?
Well, I'd already told them this is it for me. I told them that. And I've always been just a little bitter about that, because they knew I was not going anyplace after that day. And it worked out because I didn't go, and I... But that was my intentions all the time.
Ted, you said, I was reading this in some old Sports Illustrateds that I have, going back to 1955. You didn't begin the season until May in 55, I think, and you had done an interview with Sports Illustrated. In that interview, you said one of the most overworked expressions in sports is overconfidence. And you said that the less confidence you had, the better you fared, and that sometimes it was better not to have any confidence at all, but perhaps just to step back a little bit and not feel as if you could do the job.
You're true about that. I'm apparently exemplified complete confidence. I was loose, and that was just my style. But boy, I can tell you, when I thought I had it made, and this guy's really a lamb, I'd either get walked or I wouldn't get a good pitch, or I just missed one. But the day that I went out there and said, boy, this guy is tough, and I know it, I could very well just whistle three balls. So I feel that way a little bit. I think you can get overconfident. I'd certainly rather be just slightly underconfident than overconfident.
What do you think of this situation that's transpired in the last couple of years with Mays and Mantle and Kuhn, and his feeling about... this is not good for baseball to have these guys making a living is what they're doing. How do you feel about that?
Well, I can't criticize Mantle or Mays. Certainly they have to make a living. I don't see what they're doing so wrong, but I don't know all the details either. And in fairness to the commissioner, I'd have to say, well, I don't know it enough to say, well, this is right or that is right. Apparently the commissioner feels that he knows enough about something that maybe I don't know, that he feels that he should reprimand him to this point. I don't know. But outwardly, you look at it and you say, gee, what's so wrong with them being connected to public relations? I can't go further than that with that subject.
Ted, was there any goal that escaped you as you look back now? You guys just about lie about everything. What goal escaped you that you wanted to have?
The thing that I will always be... sorry about is that I didn't get a chance to play in more World Series. I only played in one, and we come so close three or four times. And I didn't do very well in the only series I was in, and that was the one thing I'll always regret the most, that I didn't play in more World Series.
Is there anything, any kind of memento you say from your career, one little thing, I know, was it maybe it's a glove, it's a ring, or any kind of a shirt, anything you say that you prize the most, one thing from your career?
Well, I want to tell you, the thing that I prize more than anything else was a baseball, the one and only and forever will be, was a baseball signed to me as a young rookie. I went to Babe Ruth, and he was in our clubhouse, and I went up to him, and I got a ball signed by Babe Ruth, and he said to Ted Williams, your pal, Babe Ruth. And it was the most prized thing that I had. I never realized how prized it was until about 8 or 10 years ago, and it was in my house. And you know what? Somebody stole that out of my house. I don't know how it happened, but somebody stole that ball out of my house.
What year did he give you that ball, Ted?
1939.
Ted, are you happy? Are you satisfied with your life and what you've accomplished?
You know what? I don't want to go back yesterday. Yesterday was a tough day for me. I signed autographs, so my right arm about fell off. I didn't sleep too well the night before. I'm going to sleep better tonight. I feel better tonight. I know I'm with a terrific crowd tonight from just the few people I've met so far. No, I wouldn't go back one day. I've been very lucky in my life. I know how lucky I've been where I could have all been wiped out like that and it didn't happen. And chances I took that certainly I wouldn't do them again. But I wouldn't go back one day. I'm living for the future. I'm waiting for tomorrow. I'm projecting good things for me ahead, and that's exactly the way I feel, really.
You don't dwell on those years?
Not a bit. Not a bit. I think I played during the greatest years in baseball, certainly. Just think of what happened in baseball. They had expansion. They had the pension plan. They had all these wonderful things happened to make it more lucrative to the players. And I'm going to benefit from that, too, because, the pension plans here, that's going to help all the old players. No, I wouldn't go back one day. I'd have made more money today, but I think the modern player has a lot of problems, too, that possibly I didn't have. I think that I played during a great era. Boy, there were some great teams, and some of the greatest players will ever hang their spikes in the clubhouse. I saw and I played again. So I don't want to go back one day. If I had to do it over again, I wouldn't want to do it over again. I might have got the shot down.
what accomplishment are you most proud of? All these accomplishments you had over your entire career, is there any one particular one you're most proud of?
Well, I think that as I look back at it now, that apparently people think of my 400 years as, you know, 1941, something.
1941, right?
Yeah. That was something that that was most outstanding that I was able to achieve in baseball. I think the fact that that I hit for as high an average and I couldn't run that fast is an achievement. But I, as you get older, I think you forget about the little specifics and you think more about the overall. And I hope that as I go on and carry on, I'm going to live about 20 more years. And if I do, I'd like to be remembered as someone that would really contribute to the game.
How do you equate that with your Hall of Fame?
Well, that's
two.
The Hall of Fame is the culmination of everything you've done over the years, and certainly that's the end prize that to be voted into baseball's Hall of Fame is what every major leaguer would like to have done.
Ted, what do you think of today's uniforms? Do they remind you of softball?
Oh, they're better, though, but they're easier.
Is that right? You like
the color?
They're easier to play. I don't know. You said color. Now you say, I don't like too much jazz on them myself. But I tell you, they're comfortable and they're easier to play in, I think. Although the light flannels, but you know they're big balloons and they didn't look as good in them either.
Thanks, Ted. You're very good.
Yeah, we got Channel 2 right now.
All right, thank you very much, Ted.